Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The Believe Podcast Network presents the FCS Football Podcast with Joe DeLeon.
Well, let's get fat.
And Sean Anderson.
I am a soothsayer.
Welcome in, folks, here on another episode of the Believe in FCS Football Podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. I'm Joe DeLeon, joined by my former teammate, former roommate, very good friend, Mr. Sean Anderson, also known as Sanderson Radio on Twitter. Sean, it's been a long Tuesday already. How are we doing today?
This can't be a therapy session today, Joe. It can't. We just need to strictly talk FCS football.
We do it. We do this every week.
We can't
check in on each other. We check in on each other. This is part of the show. This is what people tune in to listen to, is our personal lives. Except for that one guy who said that we bicker, which is, or no, is blabber? I forget. I don't know. That guy's a piece of crap. Yeah, it's been a long Tuesday.
Babble. I think it's babble.
I think it was babble. No, I don't think that guy had enough vocabulary to come up with the word babble.
I think it was babble.
Who cares? That guy's a loser.
Sucks.
It's been a long Tuesday already, which is just so depressing to say. I got jackass downstairs playing the piano. I've got a guy blowing a leaf blower right when I'm trying to record, which is absolutely great. I got my power going out at 9 o'clock in the morning because for the second time in 2 weeks, somebody ran into an electricity pole right outside my apartment. So,
well, Joe, you know the good thing is it's 7:30, so the sun still hasn't set yet. Oh, wait, it's October. 70 degrees, sun's gone.
Yeah.
This planet is just doomed. We're doomed.
What does that have to do with anything?
I hate daylight savings time. And I'm not like a hippie. I need the energy from the sun, all that nonsense. You know me, Joe. I prefer overcast, right?
Yeah.
I don't like dark. I don't like it to be nighttime at 6 p.m. I can't handle it. I shut off.
Would you feel better if we got you a ring light? Would that make you feel better?
You bring that up one more time, this show is over.
Okay.
I can't do the ring light bit. I can't. It's too hacked.
Someone just buy him one.
I'm not doing it. I won't accept that gift. You know what I'll accept? I'll accept some brisket. I'll accept I'll accept an iPhone charging cord.
What?
I got a rickety one right now.
Go to Walmart.
I think I have a Walmart one right now. It's on its last legs.
Yeah, you got to go to like Best Buy and buy like one of those Anchor ones that are high quality. Well, Sean, so we don't babble too much. Can you talk to our listeners a little bit about Bet Online and some of your betting antics this weekend?
I'd love to. And guess what, everybody? I'm on a hot streak. Unlike Joe DeLeon, who sucks because he doesn't want to bet or take my picks or listen to me. You know, this is not me playing the worst person you've ever met. This is me playing Sean Anderson saying, I have locks and I'm on a hot streak for the first time in forever. So this isn't a grieving Bet Online read. No,
this is a hot streak like two?
I think three in a row.
That was going to be my next guest. Guess. My guess. Jesus.
And our next guest, what is it? NFL Game Pass. Suck.
Go ahead, continue.
BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Not 49, not 51, 50. So don't forget to use the promo code BLEAV to receive your bonus. BLEAV, spelled B-L-E-A-V, if you have not caught on by now. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Thank you, Sean. I've actually been more active in betting, but not me doing the betting because I'm so broke that I don't have the money to do it. But my
Tony Leone, king of selling the bits, everybody.
My good friend, one of my good friends, he used to bet a lot, and he wanted to get back into it, and he's like, what the state that I moved to? He moved to New York. He's like, I can't use DraftKings. And I was like, dude, use BetOnline. You can use it anywhere. And he used the code BLEAV, like I told him to. And he got some buy-in money, and then I was giving him some of my picks. And I tried to get him to bet on the Toledo Bowling Green game because that one had a really good game, good line. And then the UConn-UMass game, which was an all-time classic, that was also a really good good option. That was a classic for another reason, but I don't think this is that. I might go outside the range of family friendly for referencing. Do you know what I'm referencing? The logo abbreviations, what it spells out.
I think I might.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? I do have, before we get to the FCS football, a quick bone to pick with you. Sold a bit last week or 2 days ago.
Go ahead.
We were on the phone.
Yes.
And you told me a lie. And then you expose the lie on Twitter, which I wanted to save for the show. And you're going to come on the show right now, and I see your face. You're going to be like, everybody's going to say, this isn't a lie. I've been doing this forever. It's a lie. I've never seen it. I've never heard about it.
Okay.
For as long as I've known Joe, we've both been lockstep on this.
Share the lie. Go ahead.
Joe apparently likes hiking.
I'm really into hiking. I don't just like hiking. I'm really into hiking. Of course, I didn't do it when I was playing football. I was like 30 pounds heavier, first of all. And on top of that, do you think you would have energy when you're doing off-season training or in-season training to go on a 7-mile hike? Hell no. No, that shit sucks. But when you're, you know, when you're removed from football, you need to find more ways to expend energy, especially on the weekend. So during quarantine, when I had nothing to go do, I was going with a bunch of my friends. We would go on like these 15-mile hikes and stuff like that. I do it all the time. I have hiking boots and stuff. They sit in my car because I'm too lazy to take them out of my car.
I've never heard about this.
I will take a picture of the hiking boots and I will post them on Twitter if I remember, which
we
probably
text
won't.
Every day, if not every other day. We have some form of communication every day, correct?
I've
never
commented,
once heard about hiking.
You commented on my story the one time I went for a hike in Pasadena.
Yeah, they looked like the first time ever.
I've posted views multiple times.
Oh my God.
I
genuinely thought that you were just driving and you stopped by a nice view. I never thought that it was even possible, remotely possible, that
there
you were hiking.
There are no drivable nice views in California near where I live. You have to scale a freaking mountain. Otherwise, you're in some smog-infested location.
You don't like hiking.
I do like hiking.
Then you've been hiding it from me because you understood the repercussions.
Yeah, honestly, I would. I think unintentionally, I have not been. Well, because if I come to you and say, oh man, I'm really getting into hiking, you would have just been like, you would have bashed me. You would have totally have bashed me. So
okay,
let
me think if there's something that you've bashed me for. I don't know. Probably, yes. But you know who's been very open about it? Your boy.
Yeah.
I didn't realize we were keeping secrets, and I didn't realize we were lying.
Okay. Well, I'm not lying.
I just needed to get that off my chest. But Joe, I am getting a little bit thirsty. So
yes.
We might as well just head on over to the water cooler, right?
Yeah, let's
Speaking of...
Speaking of, let's
let's grab our cups of water.
I actually missed the speaking of. I actually did. I don't know why. It's starting to grow on me.
Yeah, I like how corny it is. Let's fill up our cups, Sean.
Welcome to the water cooler.
So, Sean, I'm sure you know for a fact here this one thing that we're going to open up today with, which is just, it feels so freaking good to wash this over us and talk about this right now, because the whole beginning of the season, we have received nothing but negative feedback when talking about the University of Rhode Island's football program. And the one thing that we've said adamantly is that if they do well, we are going to talk about them. Every other show talks about the schools that they attended, so justifiably, we're going to talk about the University of Rhode Island. They played a fantastic game against Delaware, winning 22-15, and that, based on the circumstances of the JMU game, which we're going to cover after the water cooler segment, they are now the top of the CAA. And I'm not saying that they're going to stay there, but their remaining schedule, the only roadblock that I see is Villanova. Villanova's a good football team. So is Delaware. I understand they were missing Nolan Henderson, but if they can beat Villanova, the CAA is wide open because they don't have to play JMU like I talked about last week.
This is different now, and I'm starting to almost agree with you on our coverage of Rhode Island. It's very minimal still, I would say. Because
yeah,
this is just
don't
one
be homers.
It's one water cooler segment, but when we started the show, for any new listeners, we were still players at Rhode Island, so we wanted to keep everything very close to the vest when it came to talking about the team. We wanted to be very professional, actually more professional than we are now, when talking about the national FCS landscape. And I guess now we got a little more carte blanche to kind of go and say, hey, 5-0. So everyone else in the CAA, why don't you kiss the ring, losers?
We can't say kiss the ring yet because they haven't won anything yet. But man, it's great.
The metaphorical 5-0 ring.
Regardless, great to see the LB Mack punt return or punt block return that he
that
had.
Ruled.
Yeah, just seeing the guys that we played with that have seemingly been there for 20 years and they're just completely balling out. And then
Justice, 100 yards, 100 plus yards.
Our,
yeah.
Our good friend, Coach Donnie Smith, his Twitter presence is always great. And then it was slightly marred by what was easily the worst graphic that I have ever seen produced by a Division I football program that has been since deleted. You don't want to see it, but it was something, it was in regards to a quote that Coach Fleming made about steak and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, which Coach Flem has a tendency to say things that don't really make a lot of sense. I love him for that. But I didn't think that needed to be turned into a really poorly prepared graphic that you let one of your dipstick interns put together. So that kind of made me a little upset. Like, I thought we were more professional than that.
Well, we lost, I don't know, the best up-and-coming graphic designer in the entire college football landscape a couple of years ago.
Because they wouldn't pay him. Because they wouldn't freaking pay. And then they had a guy who was a great replacement, and he's gone already. Now it's Zach Keating's been doing some great stuff, but I know for a fact that Zach Keating did not make that disturbing peanut butter and jelly.
Of course he didn't.
It was so hack that they took like a clip art peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't know if you noticed this and stuck it in Ivory's hand.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was terrible. Sean, what's the next thing here at the water cooler?
The next thing here, I appreciate you, Joe, for spelling out all the team's names here. Missouri State fell to Youngstown State 41-33. I believe your boy might have picked the Penguins last week. I can't remember. I know I faded you a good amount.
I don't think we didn't pick that game, but there were a couple of times you faded me and you were correct. We tied again. And we'll get to that on the next episode.
I can't wait till Thursday. Oh, it's going to be.
Which means 20 minutes from now.
Let's try to keep up. Let's try to keep the curtains up a little bit here.
Gee, I wonder why we're wearing the same clothes every time we record.
I'll do a change. I don't care. Missouri State, though, who I think, at least we thought, even if we didn't pick them, was going to win. Youngstown State, always up and down team when we've been seeing them. I think our first year in 2018, Youngstown State was very, very strong. And then they lost their head coach in 2019 or 2020. And they've kind of been battling back from that. Big win, though. I mean, a win's a win. Missouri State has looked very, very strong so far this year.
Yeah, I was disappointed because Missouri State was turning into one of those middle tier, like 15th-ish ranked teams in the FCS where they played Oklahoma State really well. And then I'm disappointed to see them lose to Youngstown State, because that's a football game that I expect them to win. They've looked so freaking good this season. And it sucks when you lose a close, or not a close game, but like a game that probably should have been a victory for them. And it derails a strong start to the year. And speaking of a derailed start to the season, North Dakota, man, they are just not doing well over this recent stretch. They look pretty very vulnerable against North Dakota State. And it was a little bit more of North Dakota State being just straight up dominant, but they lost to South Dakota 20-13, a game that I think a lot of people just assumed was going to be a win for North Dakota. And man, they are turning into probably one of the biggest busts in the, you know, this season so far. And I think we got a hack take last week that was really on point, that saying that North Dakota wasn't as good as we thought it was. And it was a very accurate take.
They've looked very pedestrian, and we have been drinking the Kool-Aid on them since last year, I'd say, pretty heavily. All the sugar, not a very high water ratio. We've not officially bought in, because we're obviously Western Kentucky fans. But the for North Dakota, we had a little more confidence in them going into the year, and so far what they put out on the field has not been indicative of what our projections were.
Yeah, not very indicative at all.
Oh, this one is mine. Sorry.
Yeah, there you go. It's like we're doing a show together. And we've been doing it since week one, and it's week six recap right now. Wow, look at that.
I just like when you lead me in. It's fun.
I'll lead you in. I'm sorry, I forgot.
No, it is my turn. And this is a water cooler segment, Joe, topic that I'm very excited about. Our guy who... First time ever, Joe, he didn't make fat stats, but he did lead Eastern Washington over Northern Colorado this past week by a whopping score of 63-17. It was a clinic. It was a bloodbath. Eastern Washington just beat down Northern Colorado. Not even close. But Eric Berrier, I believe, for the first and or second time through six games now, not on fat stats. And he still had a very, very good stat line.
I think
He had like 300 yards. I think he had three touchdowns.
It was probably one of those games where
it was very strong.
You take the foot off the pedal a little bit. Man, Eastern Washington has really taken that next step for them being a legitimate contender. And I think that the conversation, if Sam Houston State wasn't previously the number one ranked team and a former national or the previous national champion, I would honestly put Eastern Washington at number one. But you can't just move. It's like if Alabama had a really... Sam Houston hasn't had a light schedule, but they haven't been tested yet. They haven't faced the really hard chunk of their schedule yet. But it's like if Alabama hadn't really faced hasn't faced Georgia yet and stuff like that, and they went undefeated so far after winning a national championship. You can't just push them out of the way because another team's being dominant. They need to lose first. They still need to prove themselves, but they've already proved themselves last spring. Eastern Washington, though, that offense is impossible for anybody to stop. And I know Northern Colorado isn't very good, but 63 points yet again is just crazy to see. And speaking of, okay, I got to stop doing that. Crazy to see stuff. UC Davis, the Aggies, the team that I have accidentally hyped up this season, they blew it. Idaho State, who's an okay football program. I've got a few guys in the team who follow me on Twitter, which makes me feel happy, but what the hell? They lost to Idaho State 27-17.
Heartbreakers, man.
That disappoints me because I like seeing these undefeated teams push ahead, but you beat the easy teams on your schedule so we can have better matchups at the end of the season. God damn it.
What have we been saying, Joseph? Or at least I have been saying, UC Davis is a heartbreaking team. That's what they do. They are a team where you really start getting in faith. Oh, yeah, they're running the ball. They're throwing the ball. Their defense is looking solid. Not great, but solid. You're like, oh, they can hang with anybody. Then they do something like this. And then they go on a three-game losing skid. That's what they've done. Not saying that's what they're going to do, but that is what they have done in previous years.
Yeah, they just disappointing. They're still going to be a good team this year, and they've shown that they're strong. I think that they just got caught off a little bit off guard. I don't really give a whole lot of credit to Idaho State, but still. Sean, what about this this one team that's been really good so far, and they actually stepped up to the challenge?
They have been kicking some, if I may, ass and taking some names. Eastern Tennessee State. Right now, looking at it, 6-0, Joseph, if I'm not...
6-0 with a win over an SEC team.
That's right. They just beat up on the Citadel. We don't mind the Citadel. We're fine with the Citadel. The Citadel fans are very friendly with us. But Eastern Tennessee just whooped them 48-21 this last week. Mm-hmm. And they are looking just incredibly strong, incredibly solid. Strong offense. I mean, lowest amount of points that they've scored in a game was 23, and that was versus Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
You know, they've gone 45 against UVA Wise. No, that's a D2. They beat Delaware State 38-6. They beat Samford 55-48. Close, but they still edged it out. They beat Wofford one score, but they still got 27 points on the board. The offense is solid, Joe, and we can't take that away from them, and they're just going to probably going to keep on winning, and they're going to be a very exciting team.
And I think Eastern Tennessee State has easily been the biggest surprise so far this year. You could maybe throw Southern Illinois in there, but we already knew that they were good. But I think everyone overlooked this ETSU team, and they've just been fantastic. And they're going to be, I think that they're on pace to be maybe a seeded team if they can finish with this trajectory that they've held together. Sean, this last one here before we talk about the games is so stupid that I had to bring it up. So apparently Chris Hammond is operating the popcorn machine at the Idaho volleyball games, because according to the Big Sky Conference on Twitter, the Idaho volleyball game was delayed because of a burnt popcorn mishap set off the fire alarm. And it was just so stupid. I had to bring it up because it was an FCS school. And I was like,
I'd be livid. I would be livid if I'm sitting there. If I'm in there, I'm getting ready to serve. You know, or say we're up like, you know, 15-5. Like, all right, let's close it out. We're going to have a good time. We're really doing well, you know, and then toss the ball up. I'm just, oh, what is this? What is this? What is this nonsense? But no, no, no. Especially at colleges, they need that. At least at Rhode Island, it was fire alarm goes off. Everybody has to stand out in the rain until the fire department comes and cleans the entire building out. And that's what happened. And I'm sure in Idaho, they had to have the fire department come, clear it, and then resume the game. Fire alarms for popcorn, triggering for me is what I would say. I remember being woken up in my freshman year maybe 2 to 3 times at about 3 a.m. when some people were trying to make some popcorn.
Yeah,
had to stand out in the freezing cold Rhode Island rain while the fire department came. And Joe would not let me go and sleep in his room, even though he had an open bed.
You never asked in those instances. I had one instance over the summer. I think it was popcorn related. We had like a 5 o'clock workout, so I went to bed really early because I was humble waking brag. Up at 4:30. What do you mean humble brag? We had workouts that early during the summer. You know that.
I thought you meant this past summer.
No. When we were at URI, this was our between freshman and sophomore year. And I had gone to bed and I was like naked when I went to bed. And so the fire alarm goes off while I'm asleep and I'm so disoriented. I almost ran out of my room like butt naked, but like I put shorts on. So like I went out and stood outside like with like the shortest shorts that I ended up accidentally grabbing and no shirt. And I was just looked like a total buffoon. And all the other guys on the team that were staying and Eddie just came over to me and they're like, what the fuck are you doing? Oh God.
Nice.
Nice. And staying in there. Thanks for distracting us. I blame you for that. Chris, can you find out who set off the popcorn alarm?
I'd like them on the show so I can just berate them. I shouldn't do that because it's probably just a volunteer that just really enjoys the school and volleyball and just wants to support. I take it back. I take it all back. I don't take it back for stupid 18 and 19 year olds that are trying to make popcorn at 4 a.m. They can all rot.
And it's a different circumstance.
Just a nice volunteer worker trying to make some popcorn. I now feel like a jerk. It's like yelling at an old person driving.
Yeah.
How can we salvage my mood?
Let's salvage your mood by talking about two crazy upsets that happened this weekend. Southern Illinois defeating South Dakota State 42-41, and then James Madison falling to Villanova 28-27. And I don't want to spend too much time really talking about these games. I would much rather talk about the landscape right now because things are very, very messy. So what I want to hear from you, Sean, and you know, I'm obviously going to provide my insight as well. Do you buy more into Southern Illinois and Villanova for their wins? And if there's one or the other that you are, who is it? Or do you buy less into, or buy more into the fact that maybe JMU and South Dakota State just had a really bad week and they got caught off guard?
Dude, Villanova looked solid. They looked just not dominant, but Covington stepped up when he needed to. Daniel Smith stepped up when he absolutely needed to. Late fourth quarter, big touchdown. So Villanova playing as they needed to, and they were taking field goals when they needed to take field goals. They weren't scoring touchdowns every time, and their defense was holding JMU and keeping them from scoring field goals. So it wasn't like a touchdown heavy performance. I know you see 30 points or whatever it was, 29 points. They had like three or four field goals in that game. So they were taking the points. They were making their kicks. That's a very disciplined, solid win. And we knew JMU was due. And we also knew Villanova was due because last couple of years we were waiting for that. Wait, where's the big JMU? Where's the big Villanova game where they just absolutely upset somebody or they make it really, really close with a strong FBS team? Because that's what they do every now and then. And this past game, they looked disciplined. They looked strong. And they played really well. And also, I mean, hats off to Southern Illinois because Pierre Strong had like 180 yards and two touchdowns against them.
Yeah,
I know one of the runs was like 85 yards. I get it.
Right.
Still, you win after, under those circumstances. Very, very strong. Both of them. I can't say, oh, South Dakota State played a bad game and they just got caught off guard. I can't say, oh, JMU will look sloppy. No, neither team did. It's just they lost. That's the beauty of it.
That's what's so perplexing to me is that you acknowledge the fact that it wasn't as much either team was struggling in this game, but rather their opponent stepped up to the challenge, and in a close game, they made the plays when they needed them. So like when you have typical Pierre Strong Jr. stuff where he's rushing for 162 yards and two touchdowns, and you still throw for over 350 yards, like that's a typical Jackrabbit day on with your offense. But what ends up hurting them is the two interceptions. You make those big defensive plays, which helps keep you in the game. And not to mention the fact that Nick Baker was unstoppable in this performance with the plays that he was able to make. He was hard to corral. He made some big time throws that kept them in the game. And on the flip side of things, I think JMU they got bottled up offensively.
Oh yeah.
Like to see a 27 point performance from them, like that's when you see the weak points within their offense. And we have expressed those concerns with Cole Johnson, where if they can slow down the lead rusher for JMU and keep the offensive rushing attack within check, like they're only averaging 4 yards per carry, that's when I say, okay, that means they're forcing Cole Johnson to beat them. And Cole Johnson's just not the guy that's going to do that. He's just not. He only threw for 174 yards. He completed barely 50% of his passes. So like those issues are going to continue to pop up. If you can slow down the rushing attack of James Madison, they're a beatable team. That's what we found out here from the JMU game. I take less stock in the South Dakota State loss. I think that SIU is fantastic, and they played a close game and made the plays where they needed to, and they turned the football over, and Oladokun could have been a little bit better in his decision making. That's kind of where I stand. Where
Oladokun still had a good game though, at least statistically, he was almost a fast-stack guy. Dude, I'm looking at this Missouri Valley standings right now. Top six teams in conference are at least 500. Northern Iowa 1-1, South Dakota State 1-1, South Dakota 2-1, Missouri State 2-1, North Dakota State 2-0, Southern Illinois 3-0. Top seven overall are 500 and above. Being Indiana State rounding out there. It's all knotted up. That's a major, major win for Southern Illinois, but it's also not such a major win where South Dakota State has to panic. That is just a separation game, though. That's saying, okay, we're not all going to be 2-1 and then have North Dakota State still sitting at the top. We're going to go take the top, at least for this week. That conference is going to be a madhouse in a couple weeks.
Yeah, the competitive level in their conference is just so high right now. And this might be a hot take, but as good as Southern Illinois looked and as strong as they played, I don't think we're yet even anywhere close to knowing for sure who's the best team in that conference. I don't think that that win really, it tells us a lot.
How could you tell?
Yeah, exactly. So I think that there's going to be a slew of games like this as we're entering the thick of conference play. There are going to be a slew of games like this where a one-loss team is going to knock off an undefeated team, or another one-loss team or a two-loss team is going to beat a one-loss team. And it's just going to be constant reshuffling in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. This is not even close to the end. This isn't a coming out party for Southern Illinois in the sense where that they're just going to go on a run and win the conference. There is going to be nonstop
dogfight
movement. It's going to be a dogfight.
This is what this is what we expected it to be from the CAA this year, or from what at least we experienced in the CAA all our time there. This is as going to be as fun a conference to watch as there is in the FCS, and I'd say the most fun right now to watch. Even though we, you know, Rhode Island is top, this is more fun to watch. You got to keep your eyes on that conference.
So, Sean, let me put this out here.
Sure.
South Dakota State still has the ability to win their conference.
Correct.
I'm going to say that outright. JMU does not.
Oh.
I am saying that definitively. JMU does not. And here are the two reasons why. Villanova got over the one hurdle that they needed to prove themselves. To the point where if they win out, they are going to win the conference. The game that will decide the winner of the CAA, I am calling it now. As long as Rhode Island continues the streak that they're on, will come down between Villanova and Rhode Island. I don't think that that's outlandish. I don't think that's a crazy take. But Rhode Island has proven to be resilient and dominant defensively. They have the scoring totals that they've allowed are stupid right now. So when that Villanova-Rhode Island game is played, it is going to determine who will win the conference. Because Rhode Island, after that Villanova game, it's pretty much smooth sailing for a bunch of banged up CAA teams for them to finish out. Villanova, same deal. They beat Rhode Island. They can finish out and finish strong because they got over that JMU hurdle. I don't really see another test remaining in the CAA. There are good football teams remaining in the CAA, but I don't think it's like the Missouri Valley Football Conference where somebody else is going to come up out of nowhere. And I don't think JMU is just going to hang around and then wait for everyone else to beat up on each other.
All right, looking at this, Rhode Island 3-0 top, Villanova 2-0, William & Mary 2-0, 4-1. Sneaky with William & Mary there. I think they only lost to UVA.
Yeah, and it wasn't a terrible loss. I
don't know.
I had them in my ranked poll.
JMU 2-1, Delaware 2-1, New Hampshire 2-1, Elon 2-1. It's just as knotted up, honestly. Even though I don't have as much faith in New Hampshire, Delaware, or William & Mary, though. That's the thing. I don't. And I also, you know, I think this year, if James Madison and Villanova played each other 10 times, it will be 5-5. I can't pick a definitive winner between the two if they were to face off 10 times, at least right now. So, like the Missouri Valley Football Conference, going to be a gong show because in the CAA, someone's going to come in and start playing spoiler. That's what they're going to do, whether it be Elon and Davis Cheek goes for 500 in some crazy game. It's just, we know how this conference is going to go. I can't make that call yet. I can't. I applaud you for attempting to.
The only reason why I'm doing it is because, and I keep alluding to the season where Maine won the CAA. They won the CAA because I'm pretty sure they did not have to play JMU, or they just lucked out in the sense that they stayed strong enough to the point where JMU shot themselves in the foot enough times where they were able to win the conference. And it just feels eerily reminiscent to that. It feels very reminiscent to that right now, where JMU is a really good program, but I think that this loss is going to be really killer for them because there's those couple teams at the top are in a dogfight.
I'll agree. It's definitely not a loss that you're thrilled to take, especially this early in the season. It's not.
It's not the end of the world. This is my hot take. It's certainly possible. JMU is still going to find a way to win the conference, like you're saying, but I have this gut feeling that it is going to be a year where they don't win the conference.
Well, your gut, with the exception of FC estimates, is normally pretty solid.
Terrible. So,
you know, I'll go. All right, Joe, you want to get a little fat on the people?
Yeah, let's get fat. Speaking
All
of
right,
gut,
let's start it off a little bit of a slimmer amount of fat stats, not a whole bunch of popping off in the
Are we alternating, or am I like, how are we doing this?
You're going to sit there quietly while I read out the names.
I'll get my coffee.
Okay, great. Starting off the list, look who's back. Southeast of Louisiana, Cole Kelly. Last week, he did it with his arm. He did it with his legs. This week, what do you think? He did it with both again. 29 for 38 passing, 406 yards, 5 passing touchdowns, 1 interception, though. But don't worry, he also had 14 rushes and 55 yards on the ground and 2 rushing touchdowns, totaled for 7 touchdowns in their win this last week. Cole Kelly, back-to-back fat stats. I would say he is probably the fattest stat on the board this week, but that's not to discredit the rest of the players to come. Nichols wide receiver, Dejon Dixon, 11 catches, 171 yards and 2 touchdowns this past week. Pretty fat. Like to incorporate the wide receiving stats as well. A newcomer on the list here, I think first time from this school as well. Western Illinois quarterback Connor Sampson, 36 for 59 at away, 449 yards, 4 touchdowns passing. He had a pick too. Not as fat as Kelly's, but he did have a little more yards. Furman running back Devin Wynn also graced his presence on this list with 31 rushes, 204 yards, and 2 touchdowns this past week. Biggest rushing total on the list so far this week. Kennesaw State's Xavier Shepherd, 29 rushes, 179 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Made it for the touchdowns. I know Wynn had more yards, but I will also qualify touchdowns if you have 3. Portland State wide receiver Matayo Tale. Here we go. Tala Limotu. There we go. He will be rounding off the list. 12 catches, 196 yards, and 2 touchdowns to cap off his last week. Highest amount of wide receiving yards this last week from our fat stats. Welcome to the list, boys. If it is your first time, if you're a returner, we welcome you with open arms again. It is like the Masters. If you are back, you are always invited. This is how we roll here on Fat Stats on the Believe in FCS Football podcast. Joe, please take it away. I'd like to get a little bit hacky now.
I would just like to say, if I had to pick one, I'm leaning towards the Cole Kelly stat line, but I also like the Connor Sampson one too. But almost 200 yards receiving is great. I'm a big Devin Wynn fan. I can't even pick one. You keep pulling really good
I go
stats.
Kelly, man. Everyone's been balling out this year. 7 total touchdowns is enough for me to say.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll go.
Okay, so Sean, to wrap us up as we've debuted last week. This I love the way that this bit has developed. Some people really get it, and the certified hack of the week, for those that don't know, every Sunday or Monday I will poll on Twitter for listeners of the show and FCS football fans to send me the craziest, most outlandish, obnoxious take that they can possibly send. And Sean and I are a big fan of a good chuckle, and that's kind of what this has been.
What
this has been been leaning towards is whoever sends us the stupidest There's thing
Joe,
possible.
Joe Seinfeld send. Again. We like laughing.
Shut up.
You're on fire.
My point is,
what's the deal with lamps? Provide light.
Yeah, what's the deal with lamps? Buy one. We've been picking the stupidest one each week.
Oh, yeah.
And we successfully have 2 this week, but we have a winner and an honorable mention. Thank you to everyone who submitted. I apologize if you had a legitimate take that should have been actually taken seriously, but that's not how this show works because we're 2 meatheads and idiots, so this is what we do. So Preston Adams is our honorable mention, but back-to-back weeks, man, this guy's getting a lot of run. We might as well sponsor the segment after him. So he comes in with this absolute dinger, a knockout punch. Sam Houston State is better than Alabama because they're undefeated. Strength of schedule be damned. I don't even know what to say to that. I know what you're doing.
It's just goofy. And it's not like, it's just written in a way also that will get our attention without it being like over the top trying to be funny. It's just goofy to hear it read aloud. That's really what I'm looking for. It's not something that makes me groan, but something when Joe says Sam Houston State is better than Alabama because they're undefeated, I'm going to sit here and think, what kind of person would come up with that? And that's what I like. You know, I know I'll probably have a sliding scale for which hack of the weeks that I like over the course of the season, but that's pretty strong right there.
Yeah, that certainly Certainly a quality take from Mr. Preston Adams, who's on fire with giving us hack takes. He might be on track to be the biggest hack of the season. Chris Hammond, though, obviously has to always be in the discussion. And this one wins outright because there's just so many layers to it. And to come up with this, I think, required a strong creativity. Chris, I applaud you for the creativity of this, because Sean and I had to go and check the receipts. We're like, wait a minute. This team's bad. We need to go and check to confirm this before we say anything, because no one's talked about them this year. So Chris Hammond said to us that Portland State is still a top five Big Sky program. Sean, what was the information you pulled?
They're sitting at ninth place in the Big Sky.
Thank you, Chris.
They're 1-2 in conference. They're coming off of a loss. Their overall is 2-4. If he is trying to refer to Weber State, who is ranked eighth, or Northern Arizona, whatever, but you still have Idaho, Montana, UC Davis, Sac State, Montana State, and Eastern Washington. It's such a hack take. It's not even funny. I can't laugh at this one. It's so bad. Chris Hammond.
I can laugh at it. I appreciate the irony. I think the only reason I would agree with this is because the head coach did the bit where he paid for everybody's beer. That was good. That was a good
bit of the year.
Bit of the year. I wish more coaches would do that. But separate from that, I don't think anyone's even brought up Portland State until Chris Hammond is the literal first person in the 2021 season to just mention Portland State. So congratulations.
Just out of left field. Silliness. That's what it is.
Silliness. Hopefully people can be creative each week. But Chris, thank you for that. I'm curious to... Chris is very vocal on Twitter.
Oh, is he? I couldn't tell.
When we talk about him on the show, I would love to hear your explanation.
He listens to the show as soon as it drops.
Which I'm going to put this up immediately.
Which I like.
Yeah, I like it too. I think he probably listens on like 2x speed, so he can get through it faster
like,
than anybody
he get
else.
There so fast.
Right, right. And I'm on the delay because like I'm waking up Pacific time. Like I wake up to go to the gym, and like I look at my phone, and it's email, and then Chris Hammond the day after we put out an episode. And then, you know, Jamie Williams is in there. It's always a good bunch.
Yeah, we got a good little crew here of hacks that we enjoy. Joe, we're at 40 minutes. we have naturally gotten back to 40 minute shows. I hope you as listeners are enjoying this, you know, because what was it? Preseason, we were doing like 20 minute, I think. Now that's a natural 40 minute on the FCS, which means that at least we are getting back on our game as well. So if you're enjoying the 40 minute on video also, Joe, remember that. So stupid. I'm trying to plug that we're doing a little more content for the listeners. It's all good.
We're putting in more work. We talk right. more and ramble more.
Gotta love it. I am Sean Anderson. That's Jody Leon. You can follow us on Twitter. Joe's handle is at Jody Leon. Mine is at Sanderson Radio. Wait. We got audio listeners also, Joe, so you pointing at the lower thirds is not going to help us. You can check out the YouTube page, which is, Joseph, what was the YouTube page URL?
NFL Prospects Pod and FCS Football Pod. It is
That's
confusing,
right.
Which is intentional.
If you want to watch the video of us talking about FCS Football Podcast, or FCS Football, you can go there. Also, Believe Podcast Network on all social media platforms. Follow them, like them, subscribe to other shows. Take a listen. There's a bunch of great shows out there. Believe in Bengals is very strong. A lot of really good. I believe in Bills. I caught a couple clips from them. They were very, very good this last week. So obviously also believe in the Falcons with Ovi Muhaley. Long time mark for that. I got so many cards.
Wait a second. Did you listen to it?
I need you, Joe, I'm going to send you some of my OV cards, and then I need you to have him sign them and send them back to me.
I don't know if I can do that, but
why not? He's the best fullback of all time. Larry Zonka, you suck compared to Ovi Muhaley.
I don't think anyone else is as hyped up over the fact that Ovi Muhaley Haley is
our Falcons. I love him. I don't know.
Will McFadden's great too. They're like a really good pairing. I'm so glad we got them on the YouTube channel because they work so well together.
They're great. And then it's freaking Madden 05 with him and Warwick Dunn. I just sat there for hours just doing fullback read. And then also just Michael Vick sweeps and all. Oh God. It's too many fond memories. That's too
fantastic.
Many.
Fantastic. All right, I'm going to close this out. Thanks for doing all the plugs. I think I might do them again just so we can hear them again. No, thanks for listening, folks. We'll talk to you eventually.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.